Father, we just come before you this morning, and we thank you for all you've provided. We thank you for providing this room, for providing the material, for all the help we've received in putting all of this together, all under your direction. Lord, I thank you for who you've brought, for the ones you've brought back, the new ones that have joined us, Lord. They are in for such a treat because we're studying your word and you promised to be here with us. And Lord, we thank you for that. I ask that you would be with every heart that will sit down at home, spend time with you, with their workbook, as they study your word. I pray that you will speak through the words, that you will encourage them, that you will give them excitement. As they read certain words, Lord, I pray that you will dig down deep in that soul and show them this is your answer, sweetheart, and send that shot of electricity through them, and they'll know it. It's so exciting. I can remember before I had ever done any of this how you did that for me, and it was so exciting because I knew that you were with me. And Father, I thank you for the hearts here. I just pray that you will take these lessons and let your perfect work go through the lives and change the lives, give them direction, give them comfort, give them hope. And Father, I thank you for what you have done for me, because it's not me that's standing here. I promised to study, but then you said, I will teach. And when I said, yes, Lord, that's it, he said, well, you finally got it. And Father, I just give myself to you, and I give this time to you, and thank you for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I have to start with kind of where we left off, because this is important. Do you remember in Revelation when we came and I looked at this sea of faces, most of which I know, but some I don't know, but I don't know where you were yesterday or 10 years ago and what you had heard about the book of Revelation. So it was kind of a melting pot when it came in. And that's when I decided that it'd be better not to have questions from the floor, because what we were going to do is open the book of Revelation and look at what God had said and let him clear up any impression that we had over the years collected on what these things meant, and let them see it from the Lord's word in front of you so that you would know whether what you had heard was the truth or not. That's what an inductive Bible study will do. And that is what precept does. As we opened Revelation, gosh, it was 2 years ago, and we've spent part one, part two, part three, and part four. When we got through, I think all of you knew that you had done something really special, really meaningful, because you saw God for who he is overall. You saw him in control of history, directing, allowing, but everything was moving forward on that timeline, and it had a beginning and it had an end. I asked each one of you to please, please, please don't do what you normally do in a Bible study, and that is put yourself on the pages. Well, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to live? How am I? I said, do not put yourself in the narrative of the book of Revelation. Do not do it. This is a study of eschatology, and that means future things. We're not there yet. And before you study it all, you don't know whether you're going to be there or not. So don't start reading about the three frogs that come out of the pit. or any of those other weird things and think, well, what am I supposed to be? What am I that way? And you don't put yourself in that because you don't know if you're there or not. And if you're a believer, what did you find out? You're not there. Because we found out that those who dwell on the earth are the unsaved, and that's what it's about. What's going to happen to them? And then you were told what's going to happen to the believers. Guess what? We're studying Colossians this time, and guess what? You put yourself right in the middle of every page of this one, because there are lessons there, life lessons for all of us. And the importance is, we live in a time when the general condition of the human race outside these doors is almost exactly like it was in Colossae. This book could have been written today. Because the church is being attacked on every side. And the only difference in Colossae and today, I hate to even say it, is the media. Because you're in instant touch with everybody. And you hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ attacked at every single point. Turn your cell phones off, everybody. You see that you have no control over what people are saying, and you have no control over what people are hearing. And you have your own children coming home from school sometimes saying things to you that they've heard in school. And what if you don't know what to tell them? What if you don't know the truth? What if you don't have the words to tell them? Are you just being a Christian and I love everybody and I'm going to take care of them and I'm going to do this, 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 and this because Jesus told me so, because he loves me? There's a whole lot more to it than that. There is sound doctrine, and sound doctrine is the basis of your faith. Because if you don't know who Jesus is, who have you put your faith and trust in? Have you missed the mark? Because the mark is Jesus. And it's Jesus as revealed in Scripture. He is who he is. He told Moses at the burning bush, I am that I am. Well, what on earth does that mean? It means that he is the self-existent God. He was not created. He is the creator. He always was, he is, and he always will be. He does not change. And it behooves every single one of us today in 2018 to know who he is and to have it so ingrained in our minds and hearts is when we're called to give an account, we've got the words to do it because it's the word of God that convicts. How many of you remember in Revelation 1:3, these words, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. The prophecy. You know what? The Bible is a book of prophecy. And Revelation cannot be taken apart from the Bible. It's the last book. But it's part of a whole. And you can hear it. And you can read it. But until you heed it, and that means to obey, the first act of obedience in any heart in this room and out that door is when your knees go down and you give your life to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He won't be your Savior unless He's first your Lord. You give it all to Him. And he who diligently seeks me will find me, and he who comes to me I will in no wise cast out. There is an if there. If you seek him and not somebody you think you're following. And so when we study Colossians and we begin to do this homework, and we're asked in our workbooks to answer questions. Don't think you have to make up something and wax beautifully on the page and think up these big words and all. No, just write down what the scripture says. He did a pretty good job of that himself. But it's bringing you, it's putting information into your mind, not only through your ears, but through your eyes, through your pen. And when the Holy Spirit is in you, He's inside leading you into all truth and conforming you to the image of Christ. I can say that because I have it on the best authority. It's in the Bible. And that's what you're doing. Don't miss it. Even if you think you're not a student, you have not experienced anything until you sit down in obedience and do these lessons at home quietly and listen for the Lord's voice. And you know what? He's going to show up. And He's going to show you personally how important that is. And He's going to show you answers to things that you have been searching for, how to handle things or something, in the most miraculous way. You're going to read a verse and you'll think, what does that mean? And all of a sudden He's going to do this right on your heart. And you stop dead in your tracks and you think about it and you think, I've been worried about that for 2 years. And here's the answer. Because the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword and capable of going right straight into the bottom of your heart and showing you the answer. And then you get it. You get it. And I'm not just giving this lip service. This is what has taught me the Word of God. Took him 37 years, but it's still here. Oh, me. In Colossians, we're going to see Jesus a little differently than we see him in Revelation. Not one thing has changed in him. It's just the way it's related in the Bible. In the book of Revelation, we met the conquering king who's coming in judgment to separate the sheep from the goats, take his kingdom and hold creation back from Satan, who's in control of that now, who won it in the Garden of Eden. It's time for that to come to an end. And we see the glorious return with his saints. And his feet will touch down on the Mount of Olives. And I'm not going to teach that whole book right now, but he's setting up his kingdom in Jerusalem to fulfill the Davidic covenant. And that is, he will sit on David's throne and rule and reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And those of you who studied Revelation should know what happens after that. It's glorious from then on out for all the believers. We're going to see him now as the lamb and not the lion. Remember in Revelation we saw in chapter 5, I'm going to read it. I saw at the right hand, this is John speaking, at the right hand of him who sat on the throne, a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. This is God the Father. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, and here's the question, who is worthy to open the book and break its seals? You have to be worthy to take that title deed of planet Earth back. This is in heaven. And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look at it. That meant there's only one who is able. Verse 4, and then I began, John, to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, stop weeping, John. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David. If that doesn't prove that Jesus Christ is the Messiah of Israel. Has overcome. He is the one who has overcome. So as to open the book and its seven seals. And I saw between the throne and the four living creatures and the elders a lamb. That's Jesus. Standing as if slain. Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. The gospel has gone out into all the earth. Not just to the Jews. But beginning in Jerusalem, remember? Judea, Samaria, and all the parts. I actually went there, didn't we? And I cried the whole time. I know where this is. I get emotional. And he, the Lamb, came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of all the saints. I had to put that in. The prayers of all the saints. Who are the saints? Those who are set apart to God by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you are saved, guess where your prayers are? The ones you said the moment you were saved. Every prayer you have ever uttered, guess where it is? It's in heaven. He just said that. And we saw where they are. They're on that golden altar of incense. That's where all the questions are asked, and that's where God answers every one of those questions. We saw it, didn't we? All the way through this book. That's where you are right now. And verse 9, and they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain on the cross and purchased for God with your blood. That's how strong that blood of Jesus is that was shed on the cross. For each one of us, of all generations, to all who believe. Men from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, you have made them to be a kingdom, priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Ladies, that is our eternal destination. Because what I just read with you tells you where you're going to be. When he comes again, we're going to be with him. Ha ha, one way or another, right? One way or another. One of two ways. You either die and you go to your spirit goes to heaven right away and your soul, or at the rapture when the dead in Christ shall rise first and those who are alive and guess what? That's in this lesson too. Isn't that exciting? We're studying that in Colossians and you'll know and you'll see it. That's who Jesus is. He's the all-powerful created one. And that's who we're going to study in Colossians. We're going to study the Lamb, knowing that he is all of the things. His character supersedes anything that you could possibly ever come up with. But he is all in all. He is the great I am. The self-existing God. And in Colossians, which was written to combat Gnosticism, we'll study what Gnosticism is. I won't take that pleasure away from you by teaching it today. But we're going to look at Jesus in this light. In Colossians 1, verses 13 to 23, the incomparable Christ, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's when you were saved. Remember, this letter at Colossae was written to the believers in Colossae. The promises in these letters are not for just anybody. They're for believers. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. We'll find out what that means. For by him all things were created. That was he who spoke the world into completion in Genesis. And God said, let there be light. First chapter of John's Gospel tells you that was Jesus speaking. Both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, that includes Satan and all the angels. All things have been created through him and for him, and he is before all things. And that doesn't mean before and then after. This means he's the number one. He is the preeminent one. And in him, all things hold together. This is Jesus. He is also the head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Does it mean he's not already there? It's as you believe and learn more and more and more about who Jesus is, then he becomes more as your understanding is taught and expanded. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. This is combating Gnosticism and any misconception that anybody would have today. This is your platform to stand on, ladies, against all of that misinformation out there. And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. You saw that in Revelation 5. He's the one that's worthy to take it all back because it's his. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him, holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Blameless. Why blameless? Haven't all your sins been forgiven? Yes. But the fact is, you were a sinner. And he took the punishment for you in your place on the cross. And you cannot be blamed for any sin now that you committed or will ever. Because he has taken the price, paid the price for your redemption on the cross. That's how secure your salvation is. Remember, we're going to study this in detail. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith. Ha-ha. And you know what we learned in Revelation? Those who continue in the faith are the ones that are truly saved. Because not only is his blood powerful enough to save you, it's also powerful enough to keep you. You cannot lose your salvation. It's a sign that you truly belong to Him. And those that fall away were never truly His. They appeared to be for a while, but they didn't last when the sun came up. Firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. And that hope is a sure hope. It's not maybe yes or maybe no. It's your hope. You have hope. Those without Jesus have no hope of eternal destiny, which has proclaimed in all creation under heaven and earth, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. That's a powerful statement of who Jesus is. And we all need to take note of it and study. And this is an admonition of an older lady. And that's one who's lived and seen family grow up, grandchildren come. Some over there have great grandchildren.
A new one born last week.
And they are growing up, and they need to hear the gospel. And who's going to tell them? We're told to be constantly able and prepared to give our testimony. Our testimony is what Jesus has done in our lives. And you can never know when all of a sudden someone that you've prayed for years, or someone that's just run into you and rolled over your toe at the grocery store to be a witness for Jesus. You don't know. But you know what? Jesus that I just read to you about, if he's all powerful enough to do all of that, He's powerful enough to open your mouth and make it speak. And all of a sudden, the words are going to come out of your mouth because you've studied them and the Holy Spirit has something to work in you. And all of a sudden, you're going to realize what you're doing and probably blow your mind. You won't realize what happened until you get in the car and go home. And then you say, whoo, He can do that. And if you're like me, you burst into tears. Why? Because you know God has used you. He's taught you. You have been obedient to study His word and seal it in your heart. And at the right and proper time, His timing, He brings those words out of your mouth. And you are an instrument of the hand of God working in someone's life. That is the most exciting thing that can happen to you, I'm telling you. And if you want to know why we're here, why we've got this big old workbook and we're going to get bigger and bigger and bigger as time goes, it's there. And it's there to grow you as a child of God. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul wrote that in his second letter to Timothy. I don't do numbers. You'll have to look it up for yourself. And that is my guide for what I do, is to come and share the word with you wonderful ladies to grow us all up to be used by Him. Because He's coming again. And we need to pass this down to another generation. and to touch every life that we come in contact with. Whether it's a meal to someone who's sick, or whether it's a ride to the doctor, or whether it's a neighbor who needs help with something. You are an ambassador for Christ. And is it important that you know what He has in store for you? A reward, a crown. But He also is here to encourage you in you doing these things because you know you've done it for Him. And when they see that love in your eye, they're going to be like me in that great big sanctuary at Roswell Street Baptist Church in 1979, when I was taking Revelation from Kay Arthur when she'd drive down from Chattanooga. And I had heard the truth. That woman stood on that platform with that big Bible in her arm, and she taught for an hour and a half as if she believed every word she spoke from that book. And I had, 40 years old, never heard that and seen that before. And man, she had my attention. But God used those women in that church. I had no idea who they were. But one morning, I was headed upstairs to the balcony, sitting right next to that lady right there. And I'd come up the stairwell from buying the tape and having it all done, and I just... And I looked at all those women coming down the steps, some going up the steps, and I looked in their eyes. And there was something in those eyes that drew my attention and my heart. And I knew they had something that I didn't have, and I was willing to die for it. And I got to the top of the steps and headed around the U, the bend of that balcony. And about the time I hit the last part of it over there, it struck me what it was, and it was love. It was a deep, abiding love. And I saw it in those eyes. And I didn't have it. And on Saturday morning, when I was reading Matthew 16, and Jesus stopped along the road with the apostles, and He said, leaving Caesarea Philippi, "Who do they say that I am?" Some say you're Elijah, one of the prophets. Some say you're Moses or John the Baptist. And I thought, they're trying to make Jesus human. He's God. He's told him He's God. And He looked at Peter, and Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Believe it or not, you have spoken rightly, Peter. But flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but My Father in heaven." And I thought, whoa, I can't figure this out on my own. And I kept reading. And I must have read that whole passage from that moment to the end of 16 five times before I figured, surely that's enough. And then I went into chapter 17, and Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And He reassumed His glory. Brilliant light all over the place. And He hit them. And He stepped aside and was talking to Moses and Elijah. And that told me He's the same in the Old Testament. He knows these people personally. Just like he knows Peter, James, and John back here. And all of a sudden, the voice out of heaven came saying, this in pure King James English, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And it hit me. And because I had studied this precept method, the Holy Spirit brought back everything that I had learned about Jesus. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. On and on and on. I mean, didn't take one nanosecond for all that to go through my brain. And I mean, it hit me like a ton of bricks, and down my whole soul, spirit, body, and everything else went. And I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I have no hope. Take my life. Take the whole thing and make me the woman you want me to be. And you know what? I could feel my life going up because I had come to him. Not somebody I thought I knew, but to him. And as my whole life went up, I was filled with his love. The most powerful love I've ever known in my life. I said, keep me in a Bible study where I'll hear it straight from you and then use me any way you will. And man, has he held my feet to the fire all these years. When I would get tired, he would give me strength. And no matter what has happened in my life, he's been there. And even one time in the middle of the night when the very worst thing could have happened, he said, Ann, I'm here. Why do you think I got you to teach Luke to this Bible study at Lake Burton? Because you've seen me and you know what I can do. And you're mine. And it was okay. It wasn't okay, but it was okay. And some of you who have been through hard times know that. It isn't okay, but it's okay. Not because of circumstances, but because of who you belong to. That's why it's important for us to study the Word of God and find out all we can about Jesus. In that testimony, I can't teach it to you and have you learn it. You have to spend time in it and let God seal it in your heart. He will do it because he's told you to do this. And if you obey him, he's responsible for the outcome. And every one of us who walks out that door is going to face opposition somehow or other. You need to know who you are in Christ. You need to know what you believe. You need to know what the Bible says. Not that you're going to go out and quote it on every street corner, unless he called you to do that. But give me a ring. I'd like to come watch. But these are the words of life. And tough times are coming. Because we've all got children, most of us, or good friends or family of some sort. And rough times are coming. We want to make sure that we've done everything possible to make sure that they know Jesus. He's the only hope of the world. He is the Redeemer. And we need to seal that word to our hearts so that he can bring it out when he needs it. Because unless he's working in somebody's heart, you've just got a bunch of words that they don't understand. And you didn't understand them before you were saved. But I just told Melissa Harper, when I was teaching 1 John years ago to a little group, I don't know, there may have been 10 in that class. Her mother-in-law, sweet Nancy, appeared in the class. And after about 3 weeks, she sat right here. Sweetest little white-headed lady. I love white-headed ladies. And she said to me one day, Ann, on the way out, she said, Ann, I don't know why I'm here, but I'm learning so much. And I said, Nancy, that's wonderful. Tell me about it. And she said, well, and one Sunday in church, I don't know what happened, but something happened. And I said, let's talk about it. And she said how Michael had evidently given an invitation. I don't know what he said, and she couldn't remember, but something had been said, and she felt her heart respond. And she said, I have been different ever since then. And I said, Nancy, when we're studying, do you kind of understand what God has said? Do you understand the message? Oh, yes, it's all new to me. It's new, and I want it. She had been saved. And I was able to help her understand what had happened. That's a privilege. But if I hadn't known, what would I have said to her? You know? Oh, maybe you had a good night's sleep that night. You know, and you were awake for once. Or something like that. No. But you could see the light in her life. You could see it in her eyes. And you never know when God is going to call you. It's not just teachers that happens to. It's friends. It's mothers. It's grandmothers. But when you've hidden the Word of God in your life and all of a sudden someone has a question, the Holy Spirit can come right in and put the finger on what He wants you to tell them. And all of a sudden the words are coming out of your mouth. Because, you know, he's not human. He was all God and all man. He's all God. And that's what we're here for, as a witness. It's exciting. And you know what? You can put him to the test. You can say, Lord, I really need you. I'm going to be doing so-and-so, and I really need you to be there. And you feel kind of like you're out in left field. And here's my testimony for this morning. And you're going to die laughing. But it's sort of a game the Lord plays with me. And you know what? He's got a sense of humor. He's not sitting up there with a big stick. He has a sense of humor. And he knows I do too. And you better get used to it, hadn't you? All right. It took a whole bunch to herd all these sheep in this room into one list for this morning and have enough of these workbooks. And I sat down at least 4 times over the weekend to put something on paper, and nothing would come for a lesson this morning. Not one thing. And I got up this morning and went in and copied these 2 little pages, one from Colossians, one from Revelation. That's the way I was going to go with it. And I got in the car and I thought, well, I don't know how this is going to come out. And I'm not going to be there quite at 9:30 when I told my friends to come and help get the books out. But I live on Old Abbey Road, and I've got to get those two nasty lights. Habersham Cross is Piedmont, and then Roswell Road. And if you've ever tried to get through those 2 lights at the same time, you know what I'm talking about. It was this long line backed up at the first one I came to, Piedmont. And there I sat at Tin Lizzie's headquarters. I thought, this is going to take forever. The minute I got up to that car right in front of me, it took off just like this, and it kept on going. And the next thing I knew, I'd gone through the light across Piedmont, never had to stop. I went through the one on Roswell Road, never had to stop. And I thought, oh, this is wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Da, 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 da. And I got to the middle of Habersham, and I thought, am I going to go through all green lights? Are you doing this to me? Are you playing a game with me? And he just smiled. Through the light at West Paces Ferry, turned right and came through.
cruised through the one at Northside Drive, and Rillman Road was green as it could be right there. I never stopped until I got in that parking lot. Even this light down here was green. And I said, you're playing games, and you're letting me know that you are with me. And sure enough, he was. He has a message for all of us. And he's personally involved with every single child that belongs to him. Are you listening? Are you paying attention to what's going on in your life so that you'll know when he's there with you? And the same thing may not happen to you at traffic lights. That's not the point. Where you need him, and when you need to know he's there, he has his own way of letting you know about it. And you'll never find comfort in any human being or any bank account or any club or whatever it is you belong to. You'll never find anything that will mean as much to you as a close, personal relationship with the Lord of your life, because he loves you more than anything you can ever imagine. And that's who we're studying. And I encourage you to take advantage of everything that's offered in this book and the thing times that we go over it. And I can't tell you what it means in the lives of all of us who know that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for who you are. Open our eyes that we may see you. Speak to our hearts. And grow us up in the Word. So when adversity comes, we will be able to stand. Because you have said, in this world you will have tribulation. But fear not. I have overcome the world. And Lord, when we're in you and you are in us and you overcome, we are overcomers. And I thank you for that. And I look forward to see what you're going to do with all of these women. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.